Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us online this week. Thank you, Garth, for your worship. This morning is Palm Sunday, and this morning we're going to join with the great crowds that worship Jesus as he entered Jerusalem this morning. We're going to raise a hallelujah this morning. The title of this message this morning is simply Hosanna, and I want us to pay some attention to that word this morning. I'd like us to begin by reading from Matthew chapter 21. We're going to read the first 17 verses and this story of Jesus approaching Jerusalem. In verse 1 it says, "As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them and he will send them right away.' This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, 'Say to the daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.' The disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!' When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred, and they asked, 'Who is this?' The crowds answered, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.' Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. 'It is written,' he said to them, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers.' The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant. 'Do you hear what these children are saying?' they asked. 'Yes,' Jesus replied. 'Have you never read, from the lips of children and infants, Lord, you have called forth your praise?' And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and where he spent the night." Father, this morning we just ask you, Lord, as we look at this grand event in the history of the world, we ask you, Father God, to just open the eyes of our understanding. We ask you, Father God, to transform us and change us, Lord, through the powerful and wonderful Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there are several things about this event that were totally out of character for Jesus. Jesus had entered this Jerusalem by this road a number of times, but he'd always come down softly and quietly, invisible. Up until that time, he had made it a deliberate habit to avoid the spotlight. In John chapter 6, when the people wanted to take him by force and make him king, he just disappeared, just moved out of the way. And whenever Jesus entered a community and began to have great success and great crowds would form, then at the pinnacle, he would just slip away to another community. On several occasions, Jesus told the people who had healed, "Hey, don't tell anyone." He was not looking for any public applause or praise until today. Another thing is that Jesus had purposely avoided being arrested by the religious establishment. He confronted them, but he always disappeared, until now. This demonstration, I think, was anticipated by Jesus. He told his disciples to get him a small donkey, and not a stallion or a chariot or a camel, so that he can make his slow, humble descent down the road into Jerusalem. When this huge crowd began to follow him, He didn't slip away. When they began to get excited, he didn't say a thing. When they finally, the whole situation turned into this loud praise celebration, a Hosanna party, he didn't shush them. He just let the dogs come out and howl. Jesus just let it happen. But the question is, why? Why was Jesus a willing participant in this kind of a grand demonstration? It was because it was time. It was his time. It was time for Jesus to do what he came to do. We'll talk more about that in a second. Jesus knew full well the kind of impact that this would have on the city and on the religious establishment. And to make matters worse, he went straight down to the temple and he just made a terrible scene and rebuked them all. The religious leaders had decided previously that it was unwise to make a move against Jesus during the Passover celebration. They felt it would cause too much of an uproar, so they were waiting for things to cool down. But after this demonstration, things totally changed. This public display of enthusiastic praise brought them right down on him. They were besides themselves. Oh my goodness, they said, they're not only calling him a king, they're using this word Hosanna. This is blasphemy, and besides, Rome will not like this. The word Hosanna, this is important, the word Hosanna is only used in the scripture this one time. It's recorded in three of the Gospels, but it's only used in scripture. You can't find it anywhere in scripture. The word Hosanna is a combination of two Hebrew words, Yasha and Ana, and it means literally, please save us. So get this. He was coming down to Jerusalem and the people were saying, please save us, please save us. And this has actually two meanings. It was one meaning in the mind of Jesus and one meaning in the mind of the crowds. The crowds were saying, please save us from Roman occupation. Please save us from the life that we have to live here. Please take over. But in the mind of Jesus, please save us meant he was going to go to the cross and give his life to save them from their sins. The religious establishment was truly offended when they heard the word Hosanna. The whole scene, please save us, was so offensive to them. It gives us something to think about. This enthusiastic praise was something spontaneous. Praise happens when you see something amazing. It was their response to the mighty works they had seen for the last 3 years. His reputation was known throughout the land. For 3 years, he had been all over Israel. And the number of people he had preached to and touched and healed and delivered was in the tens of thousands, perhaps the hundreds of thousands. And this is an experience we all need to have. After you've seen one too many blessings and too many miracles, you just can't help yourself. They just couldn't stand it one more minute. Praise just burst out of them on this occasion. Even the kids began to get in the act. Even the rocks were ready to sing, as Jesus was saying. This is my idea of praise and worship. In Matthew 21, verse 15 and 16, this response from the chief priests and teachers is really interesting. Let's read it again. When the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, they didn't say, oh, hallelujah, isn't this wonderful? And they heard the children shouting in the temple area, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were indignant. How could they be indignant? They saw the wonderful things he did. And this is an interesting thing. People can actually see the wonderful things God does and refuse to engage in praise or worship. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, Jesus replied. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise? And Jesus' response is, hey, they're praising me because they've seen what I've done. They know who I am. Hopefully, you and I have seen what he's done, and we know who he is, and it prompts us. It brings out of us this enthusiastic praise and worship. The King of Glory is being revealed. The sounds of heaven are being broadcast on the earth. It was one of the greatest moments in human history. Let me just take a few moments and talk about praise here. True praise happens at the point, here's when we know who Jesus is, when we see and truly appreciate what he's done for us, when we know what he's doing, when we know that he's in control, when we know that his promises are true, praise bursts out. Now, praise is not just singing a song. This is important. It has a it's a heart exploding with gratitude for the goodness of God. You can sing a song without really praising. You're just mouthing the words without really engaging from your heart in response to the goodness of God. Praise is a testimony. It has a powerful effect on everyone and everything. Back in the days of the Jesus people, 100 years ago now, we used to go to the university district and we'd grab a corner and 25 or 30 of us would sit on the corner and we would just begin to worship God with a passion. And others of us would kind of move around in the background because crowds always came around when we did this just to wonder at what we do. It was Palm Sunday every day. And the impact on people, it was amazing. Many of them watched in curiosity and wonder as we joyfully expressed our love for God, singing from our whole heart. And in their hearts, they actually said, "Hey, I want some of that." We used to take foreign students into our house. We still do. But early on, we took in students from Saudi Arabia, Muslim students. And Muslim students, you know, didn't want to hear about the gospel. But whenever we praised in the living room, whenever I got out my guitar and we had a worship time in the living room, they would just sit on the stairs and look into the living room in amazement. One time, one of them came down. He stood in the hallway for a long time watching us worship, and he started crying. It was so moving to him. Every evening when the praise was over, a number of people came to our house for dinner. A number of them accepted Jesus, and almost every night we baptized someone out in Lake Washington or out in Green Lake, almost every night. And all of that was just the result of us praising God out in the open. This is what was happening here in the triumphant entry. When Jesus said these words, this is important. When Jesus said these words, "Have you never read? From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise." Actually, he was quoting from an Old Testament scripture in Psalm chapter 8, verse 2. It says this, slightly different than what Jesus said, but here's what it says. "From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger." This tells us something about the power of praise. When praise is released, it silences the foe. It silences the devil's negative talk. It silences our inner voices of criticism and complaint. It reflects a different attitude. It acknowledges the character and the nature of God. It recognizes who he is and what he's done. Praise literally turns our back on the problems we face to the answer that there is. It makes you strong. And so when Jesus said, "Hey, you have ordained praise because we have enemies, because there's something and someone out in this world that is seeking to rob us of our joy. And so you have ordained praise to silence those voices." So, first, praise is a response to what we see. One time Jesus said to his disciples, "Blessed are your eyes because they see." When you truly see, you whistle while you work. You drive to work praising and worshiping him. We praise him to our friends and our family. We write poetry and songs about him. And you know, there have been more songs written in praise to the Lord Jesus Christ than all the other songs put together in history. We are those, when we praise, we're those real men and real women who sing real loud to a real wonderful God. It's a sad testament to the fact that we are seeing so little when we don't praise, when praise is not our response. God is doing far more than we see. He wants to do far more than we ever ask or think. Praise is a response to what we see. But also I have to tell you that praise is also a choice that we have to make. Some people can't or won't praise anybody for anything. And that's real bondage. Have you ever contemplated what it means to offer the sacrifice of praise? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that openly confess his name." I don't know about you, but as for me, I have always engaged in praise. I mean, when I come to church, I don't care what's happened. I don't care how I feel about myself. I don't care what's happening in my relationships. I don't care how I feel physically. I have always engaged because I know who he is and I know what he's done for me. And I also know that praise is a way out of depression. It's a way out of my self-centered life. It's a way out of how I feel. It brings me into a new dimension. And that's why David said in Psalm 34, verse 1, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth." That's the story of his life. At all times, his praise will continually be in my mouth. One time I heard a guy say that praise is four things. It's internal. It wells up inside. It comes out of our innermost being. That's what Jesus said. "He that believes in me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." To me, that's praise and worship. Praise is internal then. It's also external. Praise involves hands right here and face and voice and feet sometimes. Praise involves some physical expression. And that's why in the scripture, when you see people praising, they're dancing, their faces are radiated, their hands are raised. Praise is external. Praise is also eternal. It's going on in heaven right now. Right now on the other side, there's a vast company of the redeemed who are engaging in perpetual praise and worship before the throne of God. And lastly, praise is infernal. The devil hates it. He's allergic to it. His negativism can't penetrate it. When praise happens, he leaves the room. Not only that, the scripture says God inhabits the praises of his people. When praise happens, God enters the room. He enters your life. He enters your thoughts. He enters your mind. I call it the hallelujah factor. When the hallelujah factor is working, the whole paradigm of our lives is transformed. One of the distinctives of Westside is participatory worship and praise. We want to teach you and train you to worship and praise. Fully engage. Now, I know for some of you, this is like, whoa, that's not me. Listen, it's everyone. When you really know and when you really see and when you really understand the goodness and the greatness and the majesty of God, praise is your response. We want to teach you to fully engage, to break out of the box that says, hey, that's not me. To grow in your ability to verbalize praise. When you first start out, you just don't know what to say. So we sing these songs from other people who said it for us, and we say it with them. Later on in your life, as you continue to engage in praise, you're going to find your own words, and you'll be able to worship him and in your own love language. To be constant in your praise, in your personal life, not just in church, in your car, in your home. To be constant in your praise. To offer the sacrifice of praise in your life. To give praise in your testimony, to actually praise him in front of other people. like we do with our kids sometimes. It's interesting how we can tell our neighbor about how great our kid is and how great our kid is, the achievements that they've made. But to actually tell our neighbor about the greatness and the goodness of God is something we all need to learn. And if you think that your neighbor won't be interested, you're wrong. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19 says this. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. Then you will sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music in your heart to the Lord. So the paraphrase is simple. It's this. If you want to feel better, you don't need to turn to wine. Turn to praise. As we consider what happened at the triumphant entry, I want you to consider this. I believe Christ wants to make a triumphant entry on a regular basis into our lives, into our situations, into our attitudes, and into our minds. I don't know, we all have trouble with our minds. Stuff goes on in our minds. What do you do when stuff is going on in your mind that is unhealthy? There's fear, there's lust, there's things going on in your mind. One of the answers is to engage in praise. Put on some praise music and begin to praise the Lord. It'll change everything. You'll have this experience where you'll burst out yourself in praise. The whole crowd says, the scripture says, of disciples burst into enthusiastic praise over the mighty works they had witnessed. And they said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." All it's going to take is for us to welcome the King. And this, I think, should be a regular habit in all of our lives, where we are welcoming the King. We're turning our faces toward him, welcoming, asking him to invade our circumstances, our situations, our hearts, our minds, our thought processes, and so forth. The Psalm 24, verse 7 through 9 is very interesting. It says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. Theologians and old-timers always thought, this is the gates of your mind. Open up the gates of your mind and the door to your heart. Open up the door to your heart for the King of glory to come in. This is something that you and I can practice on a regular basis. Open up to him. Present yourself to him. Show him what's on the inside. Invite him to come into your situation. Open up and the King of glory will come in. Who is this King of glory? He is the Lord of armies. The God of strength, the God who deals with situations and circumstances, the God of power. I want to remind you to just engage in praise in your home. Sunday morning is not enough. This is why, and you know, we are living in a marvelous age. On the internet, there are all the songs of praise and worship for the last 100 years. So if you're in a time where, you know, this, if you're in a church or a situation where their style of praise is not yours, just go get it on the internet. I was on vacation here a few weeks ago, and I went to a website. I typed in scripture songs from the 70s. And all these scripture songs that I remember and sang came on. And I was walking around the room I was just in heaven. It was like a deja vu all over again. All of a sudden, not only did it conjure up the songs that we were singing, but the feelings that we had in those days when, you know, we worshiped constantly in those days. I want to encourage you to do that. Put something on. Engage in praise. Learn to play the guitar. Whatever you need to do, engage in praise in your personal life, because it's not enough just to come to church and sing once a week. How about even in your car? I bought one of those little home speakers that you can put in your car because I don't have a connection to my radio from my phone. so that when I'm driving down the road, I can listen to worship songs and sing with them. Songs and styles that you love are all there, and I want to encourage you to utilize that. Turn them on. Go for it. You'll get a big boost in your spirit, and at times you'll hear the voice of God speaking to you in response. Praise Him. Praise Him. At the end of this, now, we're going to put on a song, We Praise You. And I want to encourage you to just jump in. As this song is being sung, let yourself go. Let yourself sing it with all your heart. Praise Him this morning. Take a few minutes to experience a burst, to praise and worship Him for the mighty works that you witness in your life. Father, we just thank You this morning, Lord, for this lesson from the triumphant entry. Lord, we want to praise You with all of our heart. We want to join with David and the psalmists, and we want to worship You with all of our heart. Lord, teach us to just let it go this morning, to break out of our box. We ask You, Father, to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.